T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Living Better in San Diego, a public service presentation of the Entercom San Diego radio stations. I'm Gary Lee. If you or a loved one is struggling with mental illness or substance abuse, Sharp Mesa Vista Hospital wants you to know that you are not alone. At Sharp Mesa Vista Hospital, they are committed to your recovery. From children and teens to seniors, they have a dedicated staff of psychiatrists and medical professionals to help you build a strong foundation and reach your full potential. Joining us this morning is Sharp Behavioral Health Services Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Michael Plopper. Welcome, Dr. Plopper.
Thanks for having me, Gary.
Let's start with a little background info on Sharp Mesa Vista Hospital. First of all, if I'm not mistaken, this is one of the largest privately operated psychiatric hospitals in Southern California and San Diego County's largest provider of behavioral health care for children, adolescents, adults, and seniors. Tell us a little bit more about it.
That's accurate. We have a large hospital, 158 beds, located in Kearny Mesa on the campus of Sharp Memorial Hospital. We've been there since 1963, providing services inpatient and outpatient to the community of San Diego. We operate 7 inpatient programs and 14 outpatient programs on the campus at Sharp Mesa Vista Hospital, as well as 2 satellite locations for intensive outpatient programs in El Cajon and in Mid-City. And we also operate Sharp McDonald Center, a chemical dependency recovery hospital just a stone's throw from Mesa Vista, where we focus on recovery from drugs and alcohol.
And again, you do inpatient and outpatient, right?
Yes, we do inpatient and outpatient.
Tell us a little bit about those services, if you would.
The inpatient services, people generally are admitted for significant depressive episode, sometimes a serious psychotic episode like schizophrenia. But most commonly, people are admitted for severe depression, sometimes in association with dependence on drugs and alcohol. We also treat drugs and alcohol independently of any mental health problem at Mesa Vista and at Sharp McDonald Center. But the inpatient services really are intended for a brief inpatient stay. We have a lot of gardens and a healing environment. We offer people at Mesa Vista Hospital. They tend to be in the hospital a short stay, maybe about a week on average, and then return to the community.
And the outpatient services?
The outpatient services predominantly are what are called intensive outpatient programs, which are focused programs lasting 3 hours a day up to 5 days a week, focusing on specific illnesses or problems. We have a van service where we can pick people up and come to stay with us for 3 hours. We offer lunch during that time and have a variety of programs. We have a senior program, an eating disorders program, a cognitive behavioral health program for significant depression. We have an adult program for folks with more long-term serious illnesses. We have a PTSD program. We're starting a opiate dependency program at Sharp McDonald Center for outpatients. So a very comprehensive set of programs. Really, pretty much anything you can think of, we can treat.
Okay, and I want to talk a little bit more about those programs, a little more in depth. You did mention an eating disorder program. Can you tell us a little bit more about that one?
Yes, that's an outpatient program focused on people who have either anorexia or bulimia, sometimes in association with other mental health challenges. But it's an outpatient program where you come several hours a day and lasts several weeks, has a high success rate.
Okay, and some of the other services that you mentioned, child and teen services?
We have a child and adolescent both inpatient program and an intensive outpatient program for children and adolescents at Mesa Vista. The inpatient program tends to be brief, 3 to 5 days typically in a crisis-oriented situation, and then enter into our intensive outpatient programs where problems can be treated over a period of time.
Okay, so the stays there at the hospital then, as you mentioned, relatively short.
They tend to be relatively short, yes.
Do you find a lot of people coming back? I mean, they're short-term visits. Are they coming back, or are they moving on in a good way?
Really much, really very much depends on the nature of the illness, how chronic the illness is. We do have some readmissions, but typically, more often than not, a person will have a single admission and then not return to the hospital. Mm. But, you know, readmissions aren't uncommon.
Right. And your adult treatment services?
We have a variety of adult inpatient and outpatient services. I mentioned the adult program, which is an intensive outpatient program for sometimes folks with more longer-term illnesses, such as schizophrenia or bipolar disorder, are treated in that program as well.
And again, for older adult, you have a program for them for older adults as well, right?
Yes, we have an inpatient program for a variety of types of disorders for older adults, as well as a senior intensive outpatient program. We're predominantly treating depression in that program. Again, we can pick people up, which is quite a service for seniors, and it lasts 3 hours a day and then several weeks in duration.
Okay, so when you talk about older adults or seniors, what age group are we looking at?
16 above, which tends to be, it's a little bit young for seniors, but, you know, sometimes people with particularly more significant mental challenges and illnesses may need treatment a little bit younger than someone else.
And the I also read somewhere that you have specialized programs by age and diagnosis.
We have specialized programs by diagnosis. I mentioned our cognitive behavioral program. It's an outpatient program for depression, so specific to that diagnosis. We have a PTSD program, trauma-informed care program, for folks who have either military-related or non-military-related problems.
What's the intake process like for somebody that's coming in for the intake or for the inpatient services?
Well, the first met with a nurse to do a good assessment. If there are significant medical associated problems, we might take you to an emergency room or sharp emergency room as well to get clearance. And then you're admitted to see a variety of mental health professionals, a psychiatrist, a psychologist, recreational therapist, nurses, a variety of mental health professionals teaming together to treat.
Now, your satellite centers that you mentioned earlier, where are those located again?
There's one in Mid-City on University Avenue and one in El Cajon. And they're similar to our programs at Mesa Vista in that they are intensive outpatient programs lasting several hours a day. We also pick people up with a van service for that program as well.
Let's talk a little bit about mental illness and suicide in the United States as well as here in San Diego. We have seen over the past several years a number of celebrities taking their lives due to depression and other forms of mental illness. Are statistics for mental illness and suicide, are they on the rise?
Well, there was a recent study by the CDC that identified that in the 15-year period from 1999 to 2015, the rate of suicide in the United States increased by 30%, which is a huge increase
really?
In that period of time. And a number of factors can be identified, but it was particularly among women and particularly among middle-aged men that there were rises relative to 15 years earlier. I think there are a number of things which have contributed to it, not the least of which is the opiate epidemic, which has contributed to suicidality in lots of people. The economic downturn and recession, I think, contributed to the onset of depression and suicidal thinking, particularly among middle-aged men, men who for the first time had either lost their jobs or lost their homes or suffered serious economic challenges, and that was a contributor. More recently, we're seeing a rise among women. Over time, men have outnumbered women in terms of successful suicides by 4-1. Men are 4 times more likely to actually kill themselves than women. But that's starting to change as more women are taking their lives.
Wow. How can somebody tell if what they have is a serious issue? And when should somebody seek help?
Well, generally, it's better to err on the side of safety and seek help earlier rather than later. But typically, if your loved one becomes more disengaged from you or from other family members, more withdrawn, less talkative, may have less energy, sleep problems, may start to do maladaptive things like use drugs or other types of misadventures. But generally, a person's behavior changes, and that's when to really start to get concerned. Typically, more withdrawal, more disengagement, as I mentioned, but just not acting like themselves. But it's important to be verbal, to be open, to ask questions, to engage your loved one rather than be in any silent conspiracy with them to not talk about it.
I have a question regarding where we're at in our country right now, and that's with these school shootings and other shootings. Is there a correlation between mental health illness and violence like these shootings?
There really isn't. The mentally ill are much more likely to be victims of violence than perpetrators of violence. There is one particular type of disorder, a psychotic disorder, in which a person may develop delusional thinking, may incorporate that into their work or other types of relationships, that type of thinking. That's forming fixed false beliefs, which a person can't be dissuaded from. And sometimes when that develops in association with anger or something for which a person is angry about, that can lead to problems. But it's a very significant minority of people who engage in violent activities. So it's unfortunately been politicized to some extent, mm-hmm. Utilized as an argument against gun control in terms of describing this as being a more of a mental health problem than a gun problem. And it really is a gun problem and availability of guns. Again, the mentally ill aren't any more likely than anybody else, other than a very small subset of them, to be violent.
And there is still a huge stigma associated with mental health illnesses. Is that changing at all?
It is changing. I think we have less stigma than we used to. One reason is there have been more celebrities with mental health challenges to become public and talk about it. At the same time, we've had celebrity-associated suicides in the recent past, and that creates conversation around it, which is very positive generally. I think stigma's gotten better, but we still have a long way to go. And things like political rhetoric about violence and guns don't help in terms of reducing stigma.
Is there anything we can do to change that, to help it move forward?
Open the conversation up, be talking about it. Fortunately, you're doing this. You're airing this type of program, and it's important for us to get the word out that treatment works, that mental health does not need, mental illness does not need to be suffered alone or without treatment, and we're available to help people and wish people would avail themselves of our services.
So we are currently in the midst of what many would call an opioid epidemic, and you mentioned how you've got opioid dependence and drug dependence programs at Sharp Mesa Vista Hospital. Opioids have been around for a long time. Why are we seeing this problem now?
Well, opioids have been around for about 150 years in terms of common usage in medicine. We're seeing the problem now because of a number of reasons, and there are a lot of us who bear some responsibility. The physicians aren't alone in that. We have contributed. In the 1990s, the Institute of Medicine created a report that identified that we aren't treating pain well enough in the United States. We are withholding medications from people who need it. And obviously people with very, very serious illnesses, cancer, who need opiate pain medication deserve that and should have that as much as they need. But we overshot the mark. We trained doctors to look for and treat pain. We made it too easy in emergency rooms to come in with a pain syndrome and get a shot of Dilaudid and go home, Dilaudid being an intramuscular pain medication. We just made it too easy to get to treat and get opiates. At the same time, we had these medications that became much more available, particularly OxyContin, which is used for more chronic pain, was prescribed much more commonly, and young people would get OxyContin out of their parents' medicine chests use it for recreationally, and then discovered that it's pretty expensive, and it became less expensive to buy black tar heroin. So young people would switch from OxyContin or pain pills to heroin and develop a very serious drug habit. So those were contributors. Very potent medications like fentanyl being available and on the market and sold illicitly was a huge problem because it's lethal. It causes respiratory depression and overdose, and you combine that with alcohol or any other drugs, and a person is much more likely to die from overdose from fentanyl.
And fentanyl is so much stronger than heroin, right?
Yes, it's very potent, comes in a variety of forms, including a patch, and is sort of the number one illicit drug among these prescribed medications.
So how do your alcohol and drug treatment programs work at Sharp Mesa Vista Hospital?
Well, we have inpatient detoxification at Sharp Mesa Vista Hospital and also at Sharp McDonald Center. We are developing what's called a medication-assisted treatment program at McDonald Center, whereby both inpatients and outpatients can receive medications which help with withdrawal and with getting off these drugs.
What kind of success rate are you seeing with these programs?
Very good success rates with them. It obviously depends on the actual illness, support systems people have, how motivated they are for recovery. But we have a very good success rate at both our facilities.
And another part, a big part of Sharp Mesa Vista Hospital is your clinical trials. Can we talk about that for a few minutes?
Yes. We've been doing clinical trials at Mesa Vista for 25 years in a variety of disorders, including Alzheimer's disease, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, depression, PTSD more recently. So we are doing a variety of trials in these disorders, and are always looking for willing participants, for volunteers. Clinical trials only work if there are people willing to participate in them. And it's an easy process. The people get care free, oftentimes pretty sophisticated evaluations and imaging, particularly in the Alzheimer's trials with MRI scans and PET scans, which are free as part of the service. But we do a variety of trials in these types of disorders, and again, are looking for subjects.
Now, I would assume it's different for each clinical trial, but what are the basic guidelines or qualifications to get into one of these trials?
Well, the basic guidelines include being able to give informed consent and fully understanding what a clinical trial is about, being able to discuss and understand any risks and benefits which may be associated with it. Most trials are placebo-controlled, and that's required by the FDA, but that means a portion of the participants will be on a placebo or sugar pill, and we don't know, and they don't know, whether they're on that. That's just a requirement for a new medication to come to market, so that's not uncommon. There's a complete evaluation. A number of lab tests are performed. People will undergo some forms of psychological evaluation to measure progress over time, but those tend to be brief assessments. We try and make it easy for people. Again, we will pick people up. There's a small compensation for time and travel associated with it, and it's an easy process. You get a lot of support from our team, and it's helping us to truly evaluate, understand, and get new treatments to market.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going next. Aside from probably helping you in diagnosing and treating these conditions, what are some of the other benefits of having these trials?
Well, among the benefits are people have an opportunity to help others. That's often what people will say is their motivation, and as well as possibly themselves. So we obviously can't make any promises in terms of outcomes of treatment with experimental medications, but all these trials are overseen by the Institutional Review Board of Sharp Hospital, the Sharp Hospitals, which ensures the safety of subjects, and all information goes through them to the FDA. These are all very well monitored studies, and I would encourage people to find out about them, because it's a way, particularly if you may not be doing as well as you'd like with the disorder you're suffering from and are looking for new treatments, this is a way to find that, and also to just be a part of the development of new approaches to treatment of serious mental illness.
And you mentioned the different types of clinical trials, Alzheimer's, depression, PTSD, schizophrenia. Are all of these current trials right now at Sharp-Mesa?
Yeah, currently we have several trials in Alzheimer's disease. In fact, we participated in the trial that most recently came out with positive results. It's the first trial looking at what's called the amyloid treatment hypothesis that has shown positive results. And we have several trials going on in Alzheimer's disease. We have several going on in schizophrenia, one trial in bipolar disorder. We have trials going on in depression, in particular with a new medication called esketamine, which is a new and novel approach to treating a new antidepressant, to treating treatment-resistant depression as well as suicidal thinking. And that's the purpose of that medication at this point, and it's showing some positive results. So we're seeing good results in many of our trials.
And how does somebody sign up for a trial to be a part of
one? The best thing to do is call 858-836-8350, and you'll talk to one of our staff, and we can find out about your interest and appropriateness for our trials.
Now, also at Sharp Mesa Vista Hospital, you offer classes and support groups. Tell us about those.
Well, we have a variety of support groups available to the community. They tend to be peer run. They're offered in the evenings and around family support for various disorders, as well as support community groups in recovery from drugs and alcohol are available. And on our website, you can see which ones are available.
Okay, and they're all at different times than I would assume.
Yes.
Okay. And before we wrap up, we're just about out of time. Any advice for someone listening this morning who may be experiencing a mental health issue or a loved one that might be listening?
Well, if you are a loved one, the important thing is to seek help soon, is to not wait. Because help is available, treatment works, I think you'd be very pleasantly surprised when you access treatment.
And talking to them is important, talking to them about it?
For loved ones, absolutely. It's important to bring it out in the open, be honest about it, ask questions, offer solutions if possible, but mostly to just provide support to your loved one and help them to access treatment.
And don't delay, right?
And don't delay.
Anything else that you'd like us to know about what it is that you're doing at Sharp Mesa Vista Hospital? We've got, again, just another minute or so left.
Well, I just would like people to know that we've been in this business for a long time. We are mental health experts. We offer treatment in a comfortable, healing environment in both our inpatient and outpatient programs. We have excellent staff who are very well trained and compassionate, and would encourage you to seek treatment.
And what is the website for Sharp Mesa Vista Hospital?
Sharp.com/Mesa Vista.
All right. Dr. Plopper, thank you very much for being on the show today. Thank you for all you do at Sharp Mesa Vista Hospital. It's appreciated.
Thank you, Gary.
That concludes another edition of Living Better in San Diego. The opinions expressed on Living Better in San Diego do not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of the staff and management of the Entercom San Diego radio stations. Episodes of Living Better in San Diego are available on this station's website. Join me next week when my guest will be from Poway On Stage, the nonprofit organization responsible for booking artists into the city-owned Poway Center for the Performing Arts and so much more. Until then, I'm Gary Lee. Have a great week.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.